What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Dropping Dimes. This is the anniversary edition, our second anniversary edition, I should say. I'm very glad to be here with you guys, even though we're still separated due to COVID-19, but that won't stop us from celebrating. And today, to celebrate the second anniversary of Dropping Dimes, I'm here with the man who I started recording when we shared a living room, and we didn't know we were going to be here 2 years later. Rafael, how are you doing, man?
I'm great. How about you?
I'm good. I took a nap earlier today, so I feel energized.
Oh, great. It's good to know that you're keeping busy during the quarantine.
I know, right? Well, have you been doing anything, you know, quote unquote productive?
Yeah, I just woke up 2 minutes ago.
So napping?
Yes.
Good.
See, but I'm very, very excited, and I have a lot of fresh energy to record this episode. It's a very important one, our second anniversary. As you said, we started recording in our living room. Now we record in your living room. So things have changed a lot.
Yeah, we're moving up. We're moving from living room to living room.
Yes.
But we have better equipment. I mean, on a regular basis, whenever we don't have to record using the internet. But even then, now we have Zoom, which is not bad.
We're paying for that Zoom account, right?
No, actually, our 9-to-5 is, but okay, that's a different story.
Okay.
Not joining us is the Zen Master Evans, who couldn't make it, but he is a big part of what we do. But don't worry, he's going to be part of this, because today, in honor of our second anniversary, we decided to choose our top two players for every position. So each one of us will go through their top two players for point guard, shooting guard, small forward, power forward, and center. And I'll be reading off Evans's answers. So I feel like there's going to be quite some discussion. So let's just dive right into it and start arguing like we always do. And I mean, it wouldn't be a good Dropping Dimes episode without you and me arguing. So let's start off with the best position out there in basketball, point guard.
Evans, go ahead. You should start.
Evans. Yeah, let's make Evans start. All right. So I don't know if these were in order. I did rank mine 1 and 2. I didn't ask you guys to do it, but I'll assume that he'll go with number 1, just because that's in the order that he sent it. Damon Stoudemire, Mighty Mouse, from his rookie year. So he's being super specific, because he dropped 30 points on the historic 96 Bulls. So Evans's number 1 pick is Damon Stoudemire. Any thoughts so far?
Well, Evans is lucky that he couldn't make it, because I would be upset with him, because he's stealing my picks already.
Really? Okay. Number 2. Let's just dive right into it. This one is an easy one. Steve Nash, Air Canada, back-to-back MVPs. He made his teammates better. And I quote here, enough said. He did have an honorable mention, so very Raf-like. Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. He says it was Steph before Steph. He's 50 plus and still playing pro with the big three.
There you go. Still stealing my picks. So just to be clear, we are trying to pick players that we've had a chance to watch play, right?
Not necessarily. You're top two all time. I mean, I didn't ask you guys to, you know, the criteria was not that you have to watch them play. I mean, especially in this era, we can technically watch anyone play.
Yeah, because if we're going with best of all time, best ever, then picking Damon Stoudemire, it's almost like
I assume that his number one pick was Steve Nash and not Damon Stoudemire, but I want to create a little controversy here and say that he picked Damon Stoudemire ahead of Steve Nash.
Okay,
but those are his two favorites.
Okay,
so, if I remember our setup correctly, then it would be you. So go ahead.
Okay, so Damon Stoudemire, I just want to throw it out there that it's one of my favorite point guards ever since I became a basketball fan.
Can I know why? I mean, I'm not saying he's a bad player by any means, but I just don't see, you know, I don't see the what's attractive about him.
Well, point guard. When it comes to Evans, I'm sure that he picked Damon Stoudemire because he played for the Raptors and he was part of that first Raptor team. I picked him because he played for the Blazers. And I mean, he played for the Blazers when we had a very, very good team. We made our playoff runs in the 90s, early 2000s. So he was a good player. He could be even a better player if he wasn't involved with some activities that he probably shouldn't be involved with. But yeah, so I'm just going to throw it out there. Damon Stoudemire would be one of my two as well. But because Evans already picked him, I'm going to go with Gary Payton.
Okay, very solid.
Gary Payton was, as you said, a very solid player. He could contribute in both ends of the floor, and I think that's important. And he's one of the best trash talkers ever. So I think
that's also true. Yeah.
That also counts. And then the second one, I'm going to go Pistol Pete.
What?
Yes. And you know why? Because I was going to choose Jason Williams. But if it wasn't for Pistol Pete, there wouldn't be Jason Williams. So I'm going to go with Pistol Pete.
I mean, Pistol Pete, it is a damn shame the way that his career and his life, you know, played out in the end. But he was way ahead of his time, way ahead of his time. He's by far one of my favorite point guards ever, but he's not on my top two. He's probably in top 10, yes. Also, I really need to save some money and get myself a Jazz jersey that says Pistol on the back. Because that's such a cool nickname, and it really worked with him. But I don't know if he's in my top two. Top 10, definitely.
Yeah, but I mean, the people that follow us, they already know that you're going to pick the two players that everyone is automatically thinking about. And I'm going to pick two players that are a little bit out of the box, right?
Oh, tell me more about how
you're going to go with Magic Johnson, of course.
That's obvious. Yeah. He is my greatest of all time.
Yes. And then you're not going to pick Isaiah Thomas because you don't want to give him that accolade, but you would pick Isaiah Thomas if it wasn't for the Bad Boys.
I've never ever said that Isaiah Thomas is in my top five even.
Okay.
He's fantastic, yeah, but well, spoiler, yes, it's not a surprise that I'm picking Magic Johnson. He is the best point guard out there, period. I don't care what anyone says. He could play defense. He could play offense. He was big for the position. He could play any other position as well. And just the style, he revolutionized the point guard position. He really made the point guards being a force instead of just, you know, being a point guard is already complicated as it is because you have to initiate the offense every time. But he made the point guard position a threat. And he could guard bigger guys. Number two, because I wanted to start number two, is Steve Nash. I started really playing basketball in the 2000s, early 2000s. And Steve Nash, I remember him playing with the Mavericks, with Dirk and Eduardo Nájera, who was at the time one of my childhood heroes.
Oh, you mean the 2 minutes that he was on the floor every game?
Take that back, you jerk. Take that back. Take that back. And I remember the first time that I watched a professional NBA game. It was a preseason game, but it was the Mavericks against the Spurs. And I got to see Steve Nash, and it was crazy. Jason Kidd, well, it was tough. It was between Jason Kidd or Steve Nash, but, you know, Steve Nash got two MVPs. I just love his style. Jason Kidd wasn't as flashy, even though he was a really good point guard, and also he's also in my top five. But again, two MVPs and back-to-back, that's not easy. I really feel bad for Steve because now with the whole, you know, Last Dance and sort of the talk about who's the greatest of all time, Steve Nash gets a lot of shade because people said that he stole an MVP from either Shaq or Kobe, which, you know, I respect those opinions, but all of them are wrong. So Steve Nash, definitely, if he won a ring, he would be one of the, I don't know, top 20 players of all time, I would say.
Yeah, and I mean, we became fans in the 90s, and the 90s are probably the best decade when it comes to point guards. There are so many good picks there. We didn't mention John Stockton. We didn't mention Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd is the assist leader, if I'm not mistaken, right? He's one of the assist leaders of all time.
I thought isn't it still Stockton?
So, I mean, there you go. We have two guys that are probably top five in the all-time assist leader list, and we haven't picked them.
So it's Stockton, Kidd, Snash, Mark Jackson, and Magic Johnson.
There you go. Mark Jackson. Two of them.
You guys picked none of them. Oh, no. Evans picked Steve Nash. You guys picked none of them.
Well, but Pistol Pete didn't play long enough to be on that list, right? And Gary Payton, I picked Gary Payton because he was, I said it, a threat on both ends of the
floor. Gary Payton is number 10. So.
Yeah, but I mean, Jason Kidd is number 2, and number 1 is, can you say it again?
Stockton.
Stockton, there you go.
I would say my top 5 point guards is Magic, Nash, Kidd, Stockton, and Chris Paul, mm-hmm. in that order.
Yeah, and Mark Jackson is arguably the definition of a point guard, right? He was very... how can I say? He was very not traditional, but he stuck to the goals or to the book of what a point guard should be doing.
The one thing that I'm upset about seeing this list now is that Andrew Miller is number 11, and I didn't know that.
He was a good point guard. It's just that when he played for the Blazers, he was already supposed to be in a retirement home instead of playing for a basketball team.
I'm going to take a page out of your book and say, will you tell him that if you saw him face-to-face?
No.
That's what
but he will probably agree with me.
Come for the hot takes and stay for the take-backs and us chickening it out if we ever met one of these guys.
I would try to say the same thing using different words.
Fair enough. Okay. All right. So that's the point guard, the most important position in the game of basketball. I don't care what anyone says. Let's move on to shooting guard. So, Rafael, you have to get us started. It's your turn.
Oh, shoot. Let's go. So I'm going to go with, with my list, I'm trying to go with players that I had the chance to watch during my life, not necessarily with players that are on the top 50 of all time list and so on. So I'm going to pick Penny Hardaway first. And Penny Hardaway is a combo guard. So I know that people are going to say, but Penny was a point guard. And not necessarily. He was a combo guard.
Sure. I'll let that slip.
Okay. And then shooting guard, Reggie Miller. Second one would be Reggie Miller.
Okay. That's very you. No complaints there.
Yeah. One of them is a straight shooter, and the other one is a player that can play several positions, and he can handle the ball. He can go inside. He can shoot three pointers, and he could have had a even more impressive career if it wasn't for his injuries, but he was an amazing player.
Yeah, and Penny could play basically all the guard positions, like 1 through 3, with no problem because of his height, his length, and it's a shame that his body just gave up a little
and
bit on him.
Just to keep going with what Evans has started, my honorable mention would be Grant Hill.
Oh my God. I shouldn't have read that. All right. So your two out of your top three shooting guards were impacted by injuries. So I can't wait until you choose Greg Oden on your best centers ever. All right. Evans, for shooting guards, I'm going to start with his honorable mentions. Brandon Roy. Again, we have something for injuries on this podcast. I think we like that narrative. Evan says he's one of Pacific Northwest's finest, just too bad injuries kept him out. I think, yeah, he was a threat for sure. And even when he tried to come back with the Timberwolves, it's a damn shame that his knees just gave up on him. He was going to make the Blazers a real threat during the late 2000s, mid to late 2000s.
And I mean, if it was another time, maybe he would be able to come back and play for another 10 years with his knees, even if he wasn't 100% anymore. But he tried to come back when the league was becoming what it is right now. The pace of the game is completely different. And he's not the kind of player, even before his injuries, he's not the kind of player that plays in that kind of pace. He's more like a player that would find the space to, you know, play his game in his space.
Number two for Evans, or actually, I don't know if it's number two, but I assume one of his favorite players, Eddie Jones. So he played both ends of the floor and from time to time would dunk on a big man to make sure you're still watching. Mm-hmm. Not a surprise. We know that Eddie Jones is one of Evans' all-time. And number one for Evans is, and actually I totally forgot about him, but I couldn't agree more, Ray Allen. Mm-hmm. And in Evans' words, it's Jesus. His game was as smooth as his shaved head for most of his career as well. Him and Eddie Jones were the original Jordan brand endorsers, so you knew they were good.
Yeah. No, Ray Allen was a great player. I had the chance to watch him play with the Milwaukee Bucks when he was playing with Sam Cassell. And I think, I would dare to say that his best years in the league were with the Milwaukee Bucks. Not when it comes to playoff runs and becoming a champion and so on, but individually, that's when he was at his peak.
I don't know. Ray Allen I remember Ray Allen when he was in the Sonics, and I don't know why. I just have very vivid memories of him, but every time he got the ball, I remember just, you know when a player from the opposite team has the ball and you go like, you know, you get nervous because you know they can shoot, they can do something with it. But with Ray Allen, I wasn't even nervous anymore. I sort of gave up. I was like, that's a bucket. Like, mm-hmm. For me, it was just like, Ray Allen, bucket. Why even bother? And even if I saw, you know, anyone trying to defend him, it was just like, just, you know, go through the motions, sure, but he's going to make it.
Yeah. Okay, now it's your turn.
All right. Shooting guard. I can't believe that none of you picked the obvious. Michael Jordan.
Well, our listeners don't download our podcast to hear me go with the obvious.
But it's not just the obvious. It's just when you're looking at shooting guards. And again, this is our favorites. And that's why I won't say favorites, because if we try to make a logical argument around this, we would never agree. But I mean, it's hard to argue against. Even if you don't like Michael Jordan, you like Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's recency bias after finishing The Last Dance, but I mean, for someone to make up rumors just to get motivated, that's absolutely insane. To play with a flu or food poisoning, whatever the hell it was in the end, and drop 45 points, that's also crazy. He will always be, some people, the greatest of all time. And for those of us that don't think that he is the greatest of all time, he is still in the conversation. I mean, it would be stupid not to consider him. But that's not my number one, having said all of that.
So you just call me stupid, that's what you're saying?
No, that came out of you, but I'm not going to neither confirm nor deny what you're saying.
Okay.
My number one shooting guard, Kobe Bean Bryant. I mean, I'm of the school of everything that Jordan did, Kobe tried to do it better. And he was just vicious. I mean, and especially after watching The Last Dance, you could see a lot of Jordan in Kobe. So, I mean, I do agree that without Jordan, there's no Kobe. But Kobe Bryant would go to, I mean, I'm sure he took ref classes or whatever it was just to know what he could get away with. I don't know if it would be great to be on his team, because it would be really annoying to play with either him or Michael Jordan. But you cannot deny the fact that both of them were the ultimate competitors, and their thirst for winning just overtook everything else in their lives.
Yes. And I mean, there are so many other players that we could have mentioned, but I think we have some good picks here.
I think this is the one where I'm the least upset from all your guys' picks. Maybe, I don't know about Penny, and I don't know about Brandon Roy, just out of injuries, but
yeah,
I'll let that slide.
With Penny, would you consider him a shooting guard, or would you consider him a point guard? Because it's a tough one with him, because as you mentioned, he used to play every position, right?
It's like LeBron. I mean, he, you know, if someone call him a point guard at times, that kind of makes sense. He can be a shooting guard. He can be a small forward. He plays point, power forward. So him is tough to pinpoint, but I think I have more of an issue with you picking Grant Hill at shooting guard. I think he was more of a small forward.
Oh yeah, but Grant Hill was the honorable mention.
As a shooting guard though.
Yes, as a shooting guard.
I'll let that slide as well.
Okay.
All right. Small forward. I've got a number two. This is completely recency bias because I wasn't sure. So I just went with Scottie Pippen. A safe bet. Small forward is actually the first person that came to mind. Not saying he's my favorite, but it was Ron Artest for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
At the three. But I don't think he's, even top. He might be top 10, not top 5. So I just went with Scottie Pippen.
No, it's a solid pick. And to be honest, it might come up on my top 2 as well.
I mean, you're making it up on the go, so I can totally call you out on that. But yeah, my number one pick, a small forward, and again, I put him on this category because that's his natural position. Technically, it is a man who will be one of the greatest of all time, or if not the greatest of all time, technically, LeBron James. He is the definition of power and agility. He can shoot, he can dunk, he can do whatever he wants. And if I ever saw LeBron James on his first year or whenever on his last year, whenever he decides to retire, just running down the court with the ball in his hands, I would get the hell out of the way because he could just totally destroy whoever is in front of him. So there you go. Scottie Pippen and LeBron James.
Okay, now it's Zen Master's turn.
The Zen Master, he went with honorable mention. It is Grant Hill. That's why I don't know who to believe. He picked Grant Hill because of he was a triple-double machine, had a smooth game, but I think Evans put together an all-time injured players list. Because he again mentions the injuries slowed him, but he was still productive. He did have that stint with the Suns when he was productive. He was sort of like Vince Carter-esque. At number two, I assume, was Sean Marion. This one, when I read it, I was like, get out. I was surprised. But he said, like Pippen, had an all-around game that suited and complemented the needs of the team, which he's not wrong about. I don't know if Sean Marion would be my number two. But if there's something that both Pippen and Marion share is that they knew they were not the best player on the team. They knew what the role was and they were okay with it. And they played their role very, very well. And the number one, I think we might all agree here, is Scottie Pippen. Evan says here that he just did whatever he needed to be done. All-around player who I only recently found that dunked from the free throw line too. I didn't know that.
Mm. Okay, so for my list, for my top two for small forward, I'm going to try to avoid picking Scottie Pippen, although we all agree that he's probably the player that would come up on all of our lists.
Yeah, so that one was tough to avoid.
Yeah, honorable mention there. I also think Scottie Pippen, it's a great small forward, one of the best ever.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with Oscar Schmidt, the Brazilian.
Okay.
he was a small forward as well. So I had the chance to watch him play because he played for 50 years. But I haven't...
Wait, 50?
No, I mean, he played for a long time.
Yeah, he played with his son, right?
When he retired, he was like 50 years old, 48, 47, something like that. He played with his son. He had a chance to play one professional game with his son. So most of the time that I got to watch him play, he was no longer at his peak. But the videos that I have watched of him playing in Italy during his peak are just amazing. And of course, the whole story of choosing not to go to the NBA, because if he had done so, he would have been able to play for Brazil in the Olympics. That's a very powerful story right there. And being Brazilian, of course, it makes me really, really like his values, right? So there was no way that I could keep him out. He could also score from anywhere. He was a three-pointer machine. And he had very similar mentality to Kobe and Jordan when it comes to, okay, give me the ball and I'm going to score now. Very confident that he could, he was very confident that he could score at any time.
So for last year's World Cup, FIBA decided to do a documentary, a short documentary, more like a, you know, docu-series on the World Cup of basketball. And they interviewed Oscar Schmidt. And there's that one part where he says, I think he's talking, I don't know if the interviewer or the cameraman, but he says, I can still beat you on a game, on a one-on-one. So if you ever desire to, like, yeah, I could still play. He said, my mentality was just give me the ball. I'm going to score and get out of the way.
Yeah, and he played with Kobe's father in Italy. And when Kobe was a kid, he mentioned several times in different interviews that he loved watching Oscar play, and that they used to play together when he was a kid after practice. So, I mean, he was a player that influenced a lot of great players as well. And it's a shame that he didn't play in the NBA. But at the same time, I understand why he chose not to go to the NBA. There are stories that he used to take 2,000 jump shots every day.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And so then
Oscar Schmidt and?
And my next pick, I will go with, and again, I'm trying to avoid here LeBron and Pippen. I will go with Kevin Durant, just to make sure that we don't get in trouble on Twitter because of all of the burner accounts that he runs. So I just want to make sure that we mention him so he's not upset.
I'll make sure to tag him later that he's on our list, so that I'm sure he cares also a lot about what we're saying right now. Actually, I wouldn't be surprised if he actually cared. He gets in a few arguments on social media. He likes doing that. You know who I realized none of us picked? I don't know why. Maybe just we're not very... Not that we're not fond of him, but Larry Bird. We didn't pick Larry Bird.
Well, because his game is a little bit boring, right?
He's very... I don't know. I feel like he had more flair than Tim Duncan.
Okay.
He didn't have as much flair as Magic Johnson. That's clear.
Yes. But, I mean, we didn't pick, for example, Dominique Wilkins. He was an exciting player, but at the same time, I think we didn't feel that he has done enough to be on the top two, right?
Yeah. I mean, I pulled the list from ESPN on the top 10 small forwards, and James Worthy is there. A very nice guy who I once met at an autograph signing. Rick Barry, I don't know if Rick Barry, I'm sure if you go down to the numbers, he deserves to be on the top 10 list, but not on mine.
But I think we have good picks here. Evans is putting together, as you said, a very good team. Probably the best team ever in case the NBA was a 40-game season instead of 80-game season.
I'm just checking, you know, spoiler alert, his point forward position. It's not as bad, but there are some guys that were also known for having injuries. So let's just jump right into power forward. I think it's your turn, Raf.
Okay. power forward, I'm going with Karl Malone.
Okay.
And I'm going with Rashid Wallace.
Okay. Okay. Sure.
Yes. And if you, I mean, of course, I don't have to explain Rashid Wallace, right? He was a great player, but of course I'm picking him because I'm also speaking from my heart. But he was a great player. He could shoot with both hands. He was one of, arguably one of the first power forwards that really, added that three-point shooting threat to his game, right?
Yeah, I think he would, if he were in today's NBA, he would have a solid spot because of his good shooting. He would definitely have a spot in many teams right now. And he was a little bit ahead of his time. When he was with the Pistons and the Celtics, he had a bit more freedom to shoot the three. But with the Blazers, he was still sort of like banging down underneath the basket.
And I'll tell you what, for this one, I'm trying to pick players that they were not only productive during their first 5 or 6 years when they were absolute monsters, physically speaking. Like, for example, Amar'e Stoudemire. And I don't know if you would be a power forward or a center. I'm just giving an example. So because of his, because of how he's built and how athletic he was a very good player when he was with Steve Nash. But when you removed him from that team, he was not that good of a player anymore because he didn't have the basic skills or he didn't have the basic techniques. He was just a powerful player. So Rashid Wallace was not like that. Rashid Wallace, he had the athleticism as well, but he was also a very complete player when it comes to technique and shooting and so on.
Well, I wish Evans was here right now because then I'm sure he would have something to say because on his list he has Amar'e Stoudemire as an honorable mention on the power forward position. But I do disagree with that as well. And it's a shame that Evans cannot defend Amar'e a little bit more. But I'm just going to pick on him a little bit because he wrote, the run he had with Nash with those under 7 second Suns was just fun. Yes, but as you said, no Steve Nash, no Amar'e Stoudemire. I think it was clear after he went to New York that he needed a strong point guard to have a very good game. Not saying that Amar'e is bad. I mean, obviously, he was a strong man, athletic. After the injuries, he lost quite a bit of his athleticism. But he needed a strong point guard to know when to do the pick and roll and to put the ball in his hands.
No, I completely agree. And just to finish with I didn't mention my honorable mention.
No one has to do honorable mentions. It's fine if you don't do it.
KG, Kevin Garnett. Although there are rumors that he used to lie about his height to be able to play as a power forward, he should be playing as a center because of his height.
Totally, yeah, totally. And up until what, last year when the NBA cracked down on the height and weight measurements, they were all lying. Mm-hmm. Anyways, let's see. Evans went for Amar'e Stoudemire as honorable mention. Then he has Chris Webber. Mm-hmm. He was versatile and crafty. That behind the back dunk on Barkley and his owner Maxis, not to mention the Jay Will and Sacramento days.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, smooth player.
Chris Webber was another one that I was debating if I should pick or not. He's a player that I really enjoyed watching, and another one that didn't depend on his. Explosion and on his athleticism to be productive. He was crafty, as Evans mentioned. He was very crafty.
Yeah, and it's a shame that I don't think he'll make it to the Hall of Fame just because every time he's been eligible, he goes against bigger legends. Mm-hmm. Maybe one day, but that's way down the line. And at number one for Evans, he's got the Rain Man, Sean Kemp. He says, catching the oops from Gary Payton, the little movements he did, a nasty dunk, the dunk competition and Reeboks, the Rain Man's a legend.
Yeah, Sean Kemp, I think he falls under the same category as Amari Stoudemire. Of course, I'm not trying to compare the two of them. I think Sean Kemp is much higher
on the list. Yeah.
But it's a similar style and a similar case, right? When it comes to are you good because you're young and you can still jump and you're still more powerful than the other players? Or are you good because you can find a way to score even if you're not as powerful, even if you're not jumping as high as the others?
True. Speaking of that, I decided to go, the two players that I picked for my power forward position, I base them on that, on their skill and longevity. So for the first time today, probably the only time you and I agree, Rafael, I have Kevin Garnett on my list. He's incredibly versatile, fantastic trash talker as well. And he, you know, obviously in his younger days, he could do everything. He could take the ball from one end on the court to the other. He could dunk, he could shoot. But then later on with Minnesota and the Celtics and even Brooklyn, he became more a facilitator. And he was always that motivator in the locker room. I mean, I will never forget his pregame routine, you know, banging his head against the stanchion. Mm-hmm. And he knew how to change the game as he got older and still be productive. But the number one power forward on my list that sort of checks all the same boxes and took his game to a more elegant position and carried his team to a championship is Dirk Nowitzki. Dirk, I think power forwards were not as elegant, as versatile as Dirk was. And I really enjoy the journey that Dirk had from, you know, shy European player who was almost instantly considered a soft to mm-hmm. become a force in the NBA. And he did it all with shooting. He rarely dunked the ball. He was not the fastest guy, but he was a threat. I mean, those couple of years with the Mavericks where they went all the way to the championship and when they lost against the Heat, I mean, they were absolutely wonderful teams and they all depended on Dirk's success and on how he played on that night. So by far my favorite power forward.
Yeah, he could move like a small forward. He had the moves of a small forward and he could shoot like a small forward. So when I mentioned that Rasheed Wallace could score from outside and he was a very good three-point shooter, he was a catch and shoot kind of three-point shooter, right? Yeah. Dirk was an evolution a little bit of that because he could create his own space as well. He could do some of the things that Kevin Durant is doing now. Dirk was already doing when he joined the league as a big, quote-unquote, big man. So, I mean, he definitely revolutionized that position in the NBA because in Europe, they've been doing that for a long time. I mean, you can even mention Tony Kukoc, for example.
True, yeah. But I don't know, Nowitzki just, he is different. That fadeaway, you know, with a little knee up, like his go-to move, it was completely unstoppable. I mean, he was a seven-footer with a very smooth jump shot. And he could take it down to the rim if needed. Great vision on the court. He had it all. He had, I think that, I don't know, I think Garnett was a bit more physical. Mm-hmm. And maybe I like Nowitzki because, you know, he wasn't the fastest or the strongest out there. Mm. It's still one, even if it was one ring, but I think it was very well deserved.
And just to finish with the power forwards, when you guys mentioned Sean Kemp, when Evans mentioned Sean Kemp, it made me go back to the years that he was a trailblazer.
Remember those years.
He played for the Blazers on and off because sometimes he would take a break to go to rehab and then he would come back and play 10 games and then he would go to rehab and then he would come back and play 15 games. And he was still productive, but he looked more like Tractor Trailer than Sean Kemp back then.
Man, Tractor Trailer, who I think played a season in Mexico in our league. Shout out, rest in peace. Well, this took a dark turn. I didn't expect our anniversary episode to take a dark turn, but so be it. All right, let's wrap it up with the centers. I'm going to go through Evan's centers here. Interesting picks. I'm not upset. You know, I like where he went. Honorable mention, he has Ben Wallace. He calls him underrated. He said he did the dirty work, played hard, and won a defensive player of the year. In the words of Evans, respect. At number two, David Robinson. Evans says the quadruple-double, the flat tops, his guns, and by guns, you know, I'm sure he means the shoulders and the arms, because the man was ripped. And that lefty stroke, the admiral was the man. I don't know why I don't like David Robinson. I think he was a bit of a dick, but that's just me. That's me talking about a person that I don't know. Would I tell him this in front of his face? I think I would, because I don't know if I would have even get an autograph or anything. I would be like, David Robinson, nice to meet you. I think you were a bit of a dick.
Yeah, you would only have one chance to do that if you decide to do it. You wouldn't be able to do it a second time.
Oh God, no.
That's
no,
for
no.
sure.
Unless we were all having drinks and then maybe we can hash it out and say like, hey, you know, I think you were a bit of a dick and maybe, you know, we can chat it out. But I don't see that opportunity happening anytime soon. So Evans's number one is the dream, Hakeem Olajuwon. He says the footwork, the dream shake, playing during Ramadan, which I think that is a very understated portion of being a Muslim in the NBA. The championships, the Spalding shoes, he was truly the dream. Ha ha. He had the ha ha. I didn't say it. But I can, you know, Ben Wallace and David Robinson. Ben Wallace he's one of my favorite players. I don't know if he was one of the best centers, one of my personal favorites, just because of the hustle and the looks. David Robinson, I just don't like him. And Hakeem, yeah, I cannot debate that.
Okay, so I wouldn't mention Ben Wallace even as an honorable mention, but I cannot debate Hakeem Olajuwon. And yeah. David Robinson, he's a great player. I'm going to try to avoid putting him on my top two now that I know that Evans already mentioned him. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to avoid Hakeem because he was also my number one.
I consider Hakeem, but I decided to go with two players, two Lakers, actually. And to me, after sort of going through that exercise of who would be the best center, I mean, again, this is my favorite, our favorite list. So not necessarily our top two, you know, all time. But at number two, I have Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. When I first watched tapes of the Showtime Lakers, you know, the whole look like skinny guy with the glasses, like the sports goggles, it was just hilarious. But then seeing the skyhook, I was like, oh, damn. And he was doing the skyhook from like the three-point range before the three-point line was implemented. And it was unstoppable. I don't think, unless you time it extremely well, probably from behind, able to block that. If you were guarding him one-on-one, there was no way to block that skyhook. Not a chance. But a number one, another Lakers great, Shaquille O'Neal. I mean, the guy is fun. He doesn't hold back on his thoughts. And he was just, in my opinion, one of the most dominant players ever. When Shaq went to the Cavs with LeBron, I was excited because LeBron was already unstoppable. He's always been. And Shaq was on the later years of his career. But I wonder what would have happened if, you know, Shaq and LeBron had been able to play both at their primes. That's a scary thought. But Shaq, just his entire personality, it's just attracts me. He's very, very magnetic. And yeah, I mean, those dunks on, you know, over three, four players, even with the horrible free throw shooting, I would still pick Shaq.
Okay. Yeah, no, I think these are fair picks, good picks.
Thank you.
So for me, first of all, I want to mention Bill Russell as an honorable mention.
We're going way back now.
I haven't had a chance to, of course, to watch him play. But the guy, his numbers are simply amazing. As far as how many rings he managed to get, and even like his stats are amazing if you look at it. But also as a retired player, he's so classy. I mean, he's always a class act. So I think he deserves to be mentioned.
His rings are, you know, one of the first things that always come into the conversation. He won 11 times. Say whatever you want about, you know, the NBA at the time, but, you know, 11 rings, that will never go away, and he will always have them with him. But I think I would call him the grandfather of the block shots. He patented and sort of improved the way that big men block shots, where it's not just his lap. He would try to either make it a pass to a teammate or make sure that they didn't go out of bounds, because in his own words, you know, the block shot is an opportunity for you to recover the ball and not to give it back, which, you know, in today's NBA, we sort of like the block shots that go 10 rows up. But again, the other team gets the possession back, but Bill Russell made sure that you didn't get that ball back.
Yep. Now my number two pick, I'm going to go with Shaq as well. But I just want to clarify that I'm going with Shaq from the Magic, not Shaq from the Lakers.
Oh, my God, sure. It's just Shaq entirely. Shaq from the Magic, Shaq from the Lakers, Shaq from the Heat, from the Suns, from the Cavaliers, from where else? The Celtics.
And Suns. He played for the Suns as well.
I think I mentioned that one. Yeah. Celtics. And I think that's it.
So, yes, Shaq would be my number two. And my number one, just to avoid mentioning Hakeem again, because he's already been mentioned, I'm going to go with Tim Duncan.
Okay, sure. I'll give you that.
But I mean, none of us mentioned Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
I did.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I just had a whole rant about this.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, my God. Are you paying attention?
I think I muted you for a second because I can't take you speaking for such a long time.
You cannot mute me unless you turn off your speakers, I guess. So, yeah, there we have it. Our top two players at each position in honor of our second anniversary. What a ride.
None of us mentioned Moses Malone and Patrick Ewing. And Bill Walton. These three we didn't mention.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. So to finish with this episode, the last question I want to ask you, who do you think, if you had to pick the best passing big man?
Oh, damn. I mean, that's tough. Probably. I mean, do we consider LeBron as a big man?
I mean, someone that could have played the center position, right? That's who you would call a big man.
Not Shaq, not Kareem. Probably.
I remember Shaq. There was a time in his career when the other teams would double team him, and he would make some good passes.
No, I'm not saying they, you know, they wouldn't know when to make a good pass.
Yeah.
But
I can tell you who I would pick. So. In today's game, Jokic, so the Joker, Nuggets, he's a very good passing big man. And then Arvydas Sabonis. These two are two players that you need to mention.
Sabonis was a great playmaker because he couldn't compete against the big guys. I mean, not because he was bad, but he was old, that's all.
No, he was always a good passer, even when he was younger. But he made it to the league when he was already older, and he had a hard time competing physically because he was already older.
I'm sure he also has a hard time computing with all this technology.
Because he's old.
Yeah. A good big man passer, Marc Gasol. The Gasol brothers.
Yeah.
Both Pau and Mark, really good passers.
Another good example for sure.
I think both of them. Probably Mark slightly better than Pau. Pau, I think, was okay at starting the play or the fast break. but Mark is a he has a better vision on the offensive side.
I mean, we can easily notice a trend here. When we talk about big men that are good at passing, almost all the names that come up are from Europe.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that it's a bit more encouraged, I would say. Although now with more athletic centers, I think we can see that they're starting to get to facilitate a lot more. I mean, Draymond Green, he's a really good passer.
Yeah.
Joel Embiid, no, I wouldn't consider Joel Embiid a good passer. Not because he's not, but usually he takes it down to the rim or he shoots. Like he's not a facilitator. That's my point.
Yes. I'm sorry. I just introduced a completely different topic, as always.
Yeah, I was about to do the sign-off and then we started talking about, you know, big men and passing. And anyways, anything else to add, man, before we wrap up our anniversary edition?
No, just happy birthday.
Happy birthday to us. Yay. Let's try to make it into the next year. Hopefully next year we can celebrate together.
Yes, and watching a basketball game.
True, yeah. Hopefully we can get a cake or something and we can all celebrate together and watching basketball. That would be nice.
I'll tell you what. This is of course, being recorded, yeah. I hope, because we're planning to make this into a podcast, right?
It, so it's being recorded. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. We should promise that next year for our third anniversary, we're going to check the list of games that are happening on that date, and we're going to try to buy tickets and go to a game to celebrate the anniversary at a game.
I like how that sounds. And it's in May, so it's, although it is playoffs basketball.
There you go.
It's going to be pricey.
There you go. We can start saving now.
Yeah, we should. But I like that idea. Let's celebrate our third anniversary at an NBA game.
Great.
And it's on wax, so no backsies.
Okay, now we can do our sign-off.
All right. Well, we just want to thank everyone listening because it doesn't matter if it's just a couple of you or hundreds of you. You know, we're still doing this because not only we're passionate about what we're doing, but all your feedback, all your support, all those likes and shares, we really appreciate them. And we'll keep working hard and do our best to try to bring you more content and more discussions on the sport that we all love. In the meantime, if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever there's a rating system, give us 5 stars, 5 coins, whatever the rating system is. This helps other people check out Dropping Dimes as well. Leave us a review. Let us know what you want to hear on the show, and we'll make sure to include it. Make sure that you're following us on our social media, Instagram at dropping.dimes. Twitter at dropping_dimes1, facebook.com/dropping.dimes1, because without the one, that's not us. Our website, www.dropping-dimes.com. If you, for some reason, want to email us, contact@dropping-dimes.com. Make sure you read our article on the greatest of all time on vancouverbasketball.com. We are going to keep writing some stuff, and shout out to Vancouver Basketball and Victory. I think that's it, Raf.
And it? I just want to make sure that we are all clear that when you say we are going to keep writing, that's really you.
I didn't know. Sure, that's been me, yeah.
Give yourself some credit there.
I'll try. All right, well, thanks everyone. Let's try that again. This is the Dropping Dimes crew signing off. Happy birthday to us. Peace out.